Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Nothing about X-Files? No mention of, like, hey, I'm not going to be an alien this week?
Nope. My brain is not working today, so good luck.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Great. Hey guys, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month and gain access to all of our bonus content, including weekly episode reviews of new episodes of The Simpsons, twice monthly bonus episodes of us talking about all kinds of random Simpsons or non-Simpsons related things in some cases. But please check it out. Appreciate everyone who supports the show. On this week's episode, it is The Springfield Files, episode 3G01, originally aired January 12th, 1997, written by Reed Harrison, who's written exactly two episodes of The Simpsons. One is this one, the other is the season 19 episode, Papa Don't Leech. Yeah, quite a gap there. Directed by Stephen Dean Moore, originally broadcast finished 26 in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 11.7, approximately 11.3 million viewing households, was the third highest rated show on Fox that week following The X-Files and the series premiere of King of the Hill.
I can't say I'm surprised. That seems like a big thing for them. Fox is like, ooh, our second animated show that doesn't suck.
Yeah, I think there's some people who, you know, there's some thoughts about King of the Hill on the news group as well. The Chopper gag is the truth is not out there.
No, Bart, you're wrong. Totally out there.
I mean, but that directly contradicts Bart's stance in this episode.
That's true. Bart is the believer.
Bart believes it before there's even videotape. So, I mean, might just be contrarian.
Well, Homer is so damn sure.
Bart is a contrarian at heart. So maybe he's just like, well, no, it's not. It's just to make people upset. The couch gag, the family flies in on jetpacks. It's all right.
Whoever wants a jetpack.
I don't, really.
If they can solve the whole burning your legs off kind of thing, I'd be okay with it.
I feel like I'd rather... Can I just fly without a jetpack?
Oh, well, you know, if we're in, you know, crazy comic book territory, of course, you know.
Yes. In our conversation about a workable jetpack for an average person, yes, we're in crazy comic book territory.
All right, then. Well, then, yeah, I guess it'd be better to just get a Legion flight ring. Go for it.
There you go. Flight rings. Flight ring. That's what I want. I put a flight ring on. I go.
Yep. There you go. A rocket comes out of the ring. You just point the ring behind you.
I don't want rockets.
That's how that works, right?
I don't want rockets involved. I don't want jet propulsion.
Fine.
I just want a supernatural flight. No? Okay.
Well, then. No, you can have that shirt. Just hop in a comic book.
Cool.
You can be Gwenpool 2.0.
It's not so bad. Episode guest stars, Leonard Nimoy, David Duchovny, and Gillian Anderson.
Gillian or Gillian?
Gillian? Gillian. Gillian? Maybe it's Gillian. Gillian Anderson. One of the other...
I always thought it was Gillian Anderson because there's also the woman from Community who's Gillian Jacobs. Hers is for sure Gillian. I thought, never mind.
I'm not sure. It could be it could be either Gillian Anderson. Here, I'll say it one time, Gillian Anderson. Other time, Gillian Anderson. It's one of those two.
Whichever you prefer, listen to that one.
Exactly. The episode begins with Leonard Nimoy again.
Hello, I'm Leonard Nimoy. The following tale of alien encounters is true, and by true, I mean false. It's all lies, but they're entertaining lies. And in the end, isn't that the real truth? The answer is no. Now, a story begins on a Friday morning in a little town called Springfield.
TGIF, guys, I'm off to Moe's.
But Homer, it's 10 in the morning.
Don't worry, I have a plan. I saw this in a movie about a bus that had to speed around the city, keeping its speed over 50. And if its speed dropped, it would explode. I think it was called The Bus That Couldn't Slow Down.
That was a great movie. I also liked The Boat That Couldn't Slow Down. And then I believe Our Careers Are Dead. They slowed down eventually.
Keanu Reeves' career is not dead. Keanu Reeves is...
No, I meant the people who starred in Speed 3, if there is a Speed 3. I don't think he was in the third one. I know he was in the second one.
He was not in the second one either.
No. Sandra Bullock was in the second one.
Sandra Bullock was in the second one. She was not. If there's a third one, I don't know. Keanu Reeves could not be there. He's John Wick, Matt.
That's true. I'm saying Keanu Reeves' career is dead. I'm saying if there is a third one, the people who star in it, their careers are dead. unless it's made by that one company who makes lots and lots of mediocre movies for very little money, and then sometimes they turn out to be smash hits.
Speed 3 does not exist. There is a Speed 3 that is the third episode of the third series of the BBC sitcom Father Ted.
I believe what you mean to say is that Speed 3 does not exist yet. At this rate, sometime around Transformers 31, we'll get Speed 3.
But we get
it will
that,
involve a spaceship.
We get that lovely intro from Leonard Nimoy reprising basically the same version of himself that is in Marjorie's the Monorail. He is consistent. His character, I really like this is, I think, a good way to have a supporting guest character play themselves, a celebrity play themselves, but also is not them. Like, it's a very strange version of themselves. It is, yeah, like this weird over exaggerated version of like Leonard Nimoy hosting Unsolved Mysteries. Basically, what was the show? I can't remember the name of it. His show.
Oh, crap. Strange, beautiful, something or other.
How much cold medicine are you on that?
I had a little bit of DayQuil this morning.
Okay.
That's all I got so far.
In Search Of. That is the show that I'm trying to think of that is that was alike Unsolved Mysteries. But yes, this is him playing that version of himself, which I like. Yeah, Homer puts on the videotape of them from apparently the 70s. I guess, or at least the 80s.
Yeah, because I mean, they're wearing, you know, white disco suits, and I think Carl's got a fro. So, yeah, probably the 70s sometime.
Burns uses the word gay in the old-fashioned sense and makes Smithers nervous. It's kinda,
at this point, it's pretty obvious. They're doing everything but coming out and saying it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not – I'm just like, oh, come on, guys. And I mean, literally, it took them till last season, season 27, for them to have an actual Smithers just telling Burns that he likes him episode. That it took them that long. So, you know, strap in. We have another let's see, 20 years of this basically before they actually have an episode about it.
Yeah.
We go through basically a quick montage of a Friday. It's Friday, so we're seeing what everyone's doing on their Friday. There's Milhouse at the arcade. We get Donkey Kong making this episode is also, is this canon, Matt? Is this a Trials of Horror situation? Is this a Trilogy of Errors situation, or is this a True Blue Simpsons episode in that technically this happens at some point?
I believe it's a True Blue Simpsons episode because we never – I don't believe anyone ever refers to this again, but it's not so wildly out of context. I mean, a couple of FBI agents show up, and that's about it. But
I mean, there's Donkey Kong is in this, Matt.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's just a monkey as a mascot. I don't think it's, you know, there never was a real Donkey Kong. But, you know, I can see the Noiseland arcade that's training a monkey and hauling him out every once in a while.
Okay. I guess I can accept that. It just feels very much, it's cartoonish. Alf is in this. That's the other thing. Like, they have that, Marvin the Martian is in this. Chewbacca is in this.
Well, those are obviously people in costumes, probably, totally.
Okay, you can only say that so many times before I go, oh, I mean, it's nothing against this episode. I still like it a lot. It's just, I feel like it's more of, hey, we have a crossover with the X-Files. Let's just do silly stuff and not have to worry about this is certainly not, I feel like it is stretching the bounds of Simpsons reality.
You know, it is, but I feel like it's not stretching it enough that it can't be explained away. I mean, we're not in comic book territory here. We're in that weird episode of Happy Days that somehow crossed over with Leave It to Beaver or something. And yes, I know those shows are like 20 years apart. I get it. It's just, you know, an example.
But we, at the same time, we also get, this episode also has a lot of very time period specific jokes, including the Waterworld arcade game, which requires 40 quarters to play, and also lasts, you get one step with Kevin Costner.
And then you have to insert 40 more, which Milhouse is for some reason willing to do again.
Is Milhouse. He is that kid. He is that kid. Yo, I need to know. We get references to TGIF, to Urkel, although Urkel's later, but there's multiple references to TGIF, basically, in this.
That's true. And also we get references to CBS's Saturday Night Craparama, which is, I believe, still on the air.
topical humor. Homer's Friday, of course, includes going to Moe's and drinking a lot. However, he's a little bored with typical Duff beer. He wants to try something else.
Another Duff, Homer?
Nah, it's Friday night, Moe. I want to try something special.
Sure. Here you go. Doof from Sweden.
Go! Wait a minute. This is Duff.
You got me, didn't you? All right, here you go. Red Tick beer.
Bold, refreshing, and something I can't quite put my finger on.
Needs more dog.
I'm surprised he didn't go with the Baron Duff's private reserve, like the $25 beer.
I don't think that Duff was in the craft beer market at the time.
Well, I mean, in Burns Verkraften, their Kraftwerk or whatever it is, that's the beer he drinks with his stock winnings. So, you know, it has some precedent in the universe.
That takes place after this in the universe.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
It aired chronologically first, but actually takes place.
Well, what about FUD? Or is Homer tired of FUD, too?
FUD's not distributed anymore in Springfield.
Oh, that's right. Didn't make all his hillbillies go blind. That makes sense.
They had to, you know, Moe got it for a cheap price, probably fell off the back of a truck or something.
Makes sense.
I think that is what happens. But Homer gets very drunk on Red Tick beer, and it is 1 a.m. Everyone else is drunk, passed out drunk in the bar. He decides to go home. He has to walk home because Moe is, I give it to Moe. He's a responsible bar owner and, you know, tells Homer, you know, you should walk. You shouldn't drive. He has him take the breathalyzer, which not very scientific necessarily, but if you're Yeltsin drunk, I don't think you need to necessarily know your exact blood alcohol level.
That's true. Once you're to that level, it's just like, you know what? You should, you know, fall down. Just fall down and stay there, and then eventually you'll sober up.
I feel like Homer had what he says later, he has 10 beers. That's not that many.
No,
especially
but,
for
you know,
Homer. I've had 10 beers.
You never know.
I was quite able to walk.
Maybe Red Tick was one of those, like, you know, 9% alcohol beers.
Yeah, that'd make somewhat of a difference. But a lot of sight gags in this episode in general, and I didn't pull a lot, but we get Homer stumbling around, walking drunk home. He gets lost, doesn't know where he's going. We get him getting passed by a bus. Like, it's all, the soundtrack in this is heavily inspired by X-Files and thrillers in general, and you know, he walks by a bus that has violin players on it, and they're playing, like, you know, screechy, tinny music that you normally, like, the kind of music you hear in Friday the 13th. We see him see the run into the billboard, the infamous die, and then the tree moves, and it's die. It screams of terror.
It's even scarier.
Yeah, even scarier. I mean, God picked something worse for you. He finds Grandpa, of course, because Grandpa's lost in the woods. And then Mealy abandons.
I'm sure that happens once every couple weeks.
It seems like it. Abandons his own father very quickly afterwards. And then sees a glowing green man emerge from the forest with the X-Files theme playing behind him.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah! And again, another very cartoony thing there, Matt, where Homer
spells out the yah.
Yeah, Homer spells, that is a very Looney Tunes, you know, type joke. Not that I don't appreciate it. It's just another thing that makes me think that this episode is like, I try not to frame it as, this is a realistic Simpsons episode. I go, it's just whatever. It's a fun, silly crossover thing.
It's a dream Homer had one time.
Do not even start putting that thought in the creator's mind. I do not want seasons of The Simpsons relegated to, they were dreams. No, thank you. Please don't ever. You don't ever have to do that again. Enough television shows have done, it's a dream thing. You don't have to. After Bob Newhart did it, no one should have ever done it ever again. But with that, we go to commercial in a very short first act.
Indeed. And when we come back, we get Homer trying to convince the family of what he saw.
I'm telling you, I saw a creature from another planet.
Maybe you just dreamed it.
Oh, yeah? Well, when I came to, I was covered with a sticky, translucent goo. Explain that.
More sausage?
Dad, according to Junior Skeptic Magazine, the chances are 175 million to one of another form of life actually coming in contact with ours.
So?
It's just that the people who claim they've seen aliens are always pathetic lowlifes with boring jobs. Oh, and you, Dad? No.
Yeah, you know, obviously Homer is not that. Of course, the family is essentially at this point mocking Homer for believing this. But it turns out it's Homer's birthday. It's also the dog's birthday, which is far more important because everyone wants to get the dog presents, but not Homer. Which, given how often Homer forgets other people's birthdays, I feel like it's kind of karmic that, you know, people don't remember his. His coworkers also don't believe him. They think it's a story. Even when he goes to the police, they do not believe him.
The alien has a sweet heavenly voice, like Urkel, and he appears every Friday night, like Urkel.
Well, your story is very compelling, Mr. Jackass, I mean, Simpson, so I'll just type it up on my invisible typewriter.
You don't have to humiliate me. I just torched a building downtown, and I'm afraid I'll do it again.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll just type it up on my invisible typewriter. Fruitcake.
Yes, so as we can see, Homer is not the only one to get this kind of treatment from the police, because apparently Wiggum just hates to do actual police work. So
is it, there's that, I guess. I don't think he's pretending. I think he just doesn't believe that everyone... Maybe he just is... This whole belief system that we think Wiggum is bad at his job, maybe he just... believes the best in people and thinks that whatever he think people just don't actually are the crimes that they think are happening aren't actually happening. You know, they're just deluded. Everyone's crazy.
So you're saying he's this is obviously a trope that my brain is not working today because I feel like this, there's so many examples of this and none of them will come to mind. It's like the one character in every horror movie. Oh, that can't possibly happen, despite all the evidence showing up.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, is usually a scientist in those movies. And scientists are a lot better at sussing that out than normal people. So they wouldn't be like that. But, you know, there's always somebody in a horror movie who's like that.
Well, I mean, maybe – I mean, there are police that are scientists.
That's true. There are. And, you know, they also – those same police also dig up dead bodies and go out on calls with guns and arrest criminals. You know, they're all the same. They're all the same kind of job.
So Wiggum is a scientist.
There you go. Wiggum is a scientist, but he's one, a bad one, because he disbelieves everyone without any evidence.
Well, they don't present any. When Homer doesn't give him any evidence, why should he believe him?
Eyewitness testimony is a kind of evidence. It's not a great amount of evidence, but it's still some
eyewitness,
kind of evidence.
Isn't eyewitness testimony like the worst kind of evidence? Isn't it most people are
incredibly wrong? It is, but it's
still
better
wrong?
Than nothing most of the time. It's still slightly better than nothing, but at least it's something to go on, so he should probably at least try. Be like, hey, maybe I'm going to go out there, see if I can find some footprints or some weird glowing things.
That's the first step to failure, Matt, is trying.
That is accurate. That is accurate. Maybe Wiggum is just, he has an intense fear of failure. So that's what it is. That's why he never does any real police work.
We've drilled down. We've figured it out. I'm glad. I'm proud of us, actually.
That's true. We are scholars and gentlemen. But since Wiggum does not want to do anything, Mulder and Scully at the FBI get the call. Of course, this is, you know, Simpsons is essentially this episode is a parody of the X-Files. So at the same time, there's apparently a shipment of drugs and weapons coming in. And Scully wants to do that. But Mulder, of course, knows the FBI's really important job is investigating UFO sightings in the heartland of America. So, of course, they show up to the Simpsons house because, you know, that's the important, that's the FBI's job right there. And Marge freaks out thinking they're there for her because she took a pen from the post office and then the dog chewed it up and she couldn't bring it back. And, you know, luckily they are not there for her, despite David Duchovny's picture of himself in a Speedo with his FBI badge. They're there for Homer to ask him some questions. The first thing they do is attempt to have Homer pick him out of a lineup where we have, I believe it's a Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, Marvin the Martian, Alf, Chewbacca, and I'm missing one. Robbie, help me out.
I thought that was all of them. I could be wrong.
I thought there was five. That's only four. Anyway, but unfortunately, it was not any of them, which leads us to perhaps one of the most memorable moments from this entire episode.
Now we're going to run a few tests. This is a simple lie detector. I'll ask you a few yes or no questions, and you just answer truthfully. Do you understand?
Yes.
That is the second most memorable lie detector moment in The Simpsons after Mo and his Did He Shoot Burns and the hot date thing.
I mean, it's a strong top two. It's a strong top two.
It's a very strong top two. After that, it kind of falls off a little bit. At this point, they also test his reflexes, which takes several hours to manifest. And then Scully puts him on a treadmill because she thought he could lose a little weight. Which his jiggling is hypnotic. You can't deny that.
The fifth alien is Kang and or Kodos.
Oh, that's right. It's an actual Simpsons alien.
It's one. And again, another thing that points at this one is not canonical is that the fact that Kang or Kodos appears in it.
Well, at the time, that might not have been, but now we know that Kang and Kodos actually exist in the Simpsons universe after that episode where they kidnapped the Simpsons.
What episode are you talking about, Matt?
You know what? I must have dreamed that episode.
I was going to say, I don't think there actually is an episode that Kang and Kodos appear in the real life Simpsons. Like, why would you possibly do that? Like, obviously, you've set a good precedent of 20 plus years of firmly establishing, like, hey, this is a good way to establish this episode is not canonical. It's just a fun, silly kind of experiment by having Kang or Kodos appear, or both. Why would you disrupt that? And on top of that, tell, like, a pretty poor story involving them. Why would you do that?
I don't know, Robbie. I don't know.
It seems like a colossally bad idea. Why our Simpsons creators, the ones we appreciate, revere, respect for making this lovely show that we love so much, they would never do something so dumb, right?
No, absolutely not. Unless they wanted to sell a lot of Kang Kodos plushies. But you never know. Maybe someday that'll happen.
Until the show becomes unprofitable.
Yeah. At this point, Homer goes out to basically tell them about his evening, and it does not go well for them. Homer lies about his evening. He basically says that they were discussing Wittgenstein over a game of backgammon, when in actuality they were drinking beer in Barney's car, eating packets of mustard, which I like mustard a lot more than the next person, but man, eating straight packets, that'd be rough.
Is it just yellow mustard?
That's pretty vinegary stuff.
Is it a spicy Dijon? Is it a honey mustard? If it's honey mustard, I understand that it's colossally bad for me, but I could eat probably a gallon of honey mustard straight from the jar.
That sounds about right. My wife would probably do the same thing. Even a Dijon mustard might be okay, but yellow mustard or like a stone ground German mustard, that'd be pretty tough to just eat straight from a packet. So let's just assume they were eating honey mustard.
I think they don't put a lot of stone ground mustards into packets. I think you're going to get yellow or maybe a honey mustard if you're lucky.
All right, fair enough. At this point, Mo asks who the heck they are, and when they reveal themselves as FBI, he slinks to the back and tells them that his accomplices that they must get the orca back to SeaWorld, where they have apparently kidnapped him from.
Did you not pull the noise that the orca makes?
I pulled one of them. I meant to pull this clip, but I guess I can save it.
That's my best. That's my best effort.
You'll hear it a little bit. Anyway.
Okay, good.
But at this point, Homer takes them out to see, you know, where it all happened. They find Grandpa again, whose teeth at this point have been stolen by a turtle, who then bites Grandpa.
This is fantastic.
This is the best I've ever had.
Yeah,
worse than the time we were attacked by the flesh-eating virus.
Oh, he bit me with my own teeth.
No, this is much more irritating. I've seen enough, Mulder. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. But somewhere out there, something is watching us. There are alien forces acting in ways we can't perceive. Are we alone in the universe? Impossible. When you consider the wonders that exist all around us. Voodoo priests of Haiti. The Tibetan numerologists of Appalachia. The unsolved mysteries of unsolved mysteries. The truth is out there.
Ah, no! Oh, who'd have thought a whale could be so heavy? She's a defense!
Oh, I cut it off too soon. Crap.
You promised me orca noise, and it didn't happen.
I'm so sorry. But who thought a whale could be so heavy?
Yeah, I know. I wish there was more Mulder and Scully in this. I feel like you got all of it as well. That makes me a little jealous.
Yeah, they pretty much show up and then leave.
Yeah, I wish there was more of them, because I think that's the funniest stuff in this episode to me is the mundane dumbness of the Simpsons juxtaposed with the Mulder and Scully of the X-Files, who are usually dealing with like hyper exaggerated supernatural weird scientific things from episode to episode, and them having to deal with there are a couple X-Files episodes that function like them going to small towns and them having to deal with like yokels and stuff like that.
That's true. I mean, there was also the time they had to go into virtual reality to save someone's life. That was a good one too, right?
I don't know what you're talking about, Matt. Why would the X-Files, a show that clearly, you know, takes you know, the search for the truth and for you know, conspiracy and all that stuff very seriously, and how those things can directly impact people's lives, why would they try and use even at the time, a fundamentally very middling product like virtual reality that barely existed, and try and make a whole episode about it. Well, they wouldn't do that, would they?
Well, they'll never know. Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, okay, good. I was going to say, like, yeah. I haven't seen every X-Files episode, so maybe there's one I missed where they did something that dumb.
Maybe. but at this point, the FBI has left. Homer is despondent. I didn't believe him. So he goes home and talks to Marge, and unfortunately, Marge doesn't believe him either.
Oh, Marge, I never felt so alone. No one believes me.
This is the part where you're supposed to say I believe you, Homer.
I don't believe you, Homer.
You do? Oh, Marge, you made me so happy.
You're not listening. You're only hearing what you want to hear.
Thanks. I'd love an omelet right about now.
Homer, please. I try to be supportive, but this has gone too far. Please, just let it be.
No, I can't. This is my cause. I'm like the man who single-handedly built the rocket and went to the moon. Oh, what's his name? Apollo Creed?
Please, let's just go to sleep.
No, I refuse to share a bed with someone who thinks I'm crazy.
Unless you're feeling amorous.
Well, no, I'm not.
Well then, good night.
So there we go. Marge is not feeling amorous, so now Homer is very upset that his family does not believe him. He goes downstairs and finds the one person in the house who does believe him turns out to be Bart. Because, you know, normally Homer is not so sure about things, which I think is incorrect. Homer is usually very sure about whatever he's doing. So Bart believes him and says that, hey, you know, we can do this. And if not, they can fake it and sell it to the Fox Network because they'll buy anything. So, you know, nothing like a crossover episode to get some Fox bashing in.
I mean, and they also, I mean, Fox did Alien Autopsy. So it's not like it's not that crazy. It's they've literally done those things multiple times. Also,
that's true. Wasn't Fox also the network called Ronald Rivera and Al Capone's Vault?
Yes, indeed, they were. Like I said, right. Multiple times. And I think Homer has some leftover doubt from Mysterious Voyage. I think he's just it's carrying over. He's still a little bit unsure about himself and where he exists in this universe. So here's me talking about that episode for another hour. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I think it's appropriate that Bart is the one that believes him. I think that is.
It does. Bart and Homer have a bond that makes it, you know, obvious. But at this point, they go out to go essentially on a camping trip where Bart asks to taste beer. Homer says no because that's for daddies and kids with fake IDs, apparently leaving out mommies and, you know, other adults, but hey, whatevs. And then Bart tells a scary story about how much college will cost for Maggie, which is true. College tuition is kind of crazy. So that's just how it goes for poor Homer. But at this point, the alien appears again. Oh my gosh. But unfortunately for Homer, while he is giving his We Come in Peace speech, he steps in the fire and scares the alien off. But luckily, Bart got it all on tape. Weird. Of course, it's a grainy 90s tape, but still, it's not bad. And with that, our episode comes to a close.
And so, from this simple man came the proof that we are not alone in the universe. I'm Leonard Nimoy. Good night.
Ah, Mr. Nimoy, we have 10 minutes left.
Oh, fine. Let me just get something out of my car.
I don't think he's coming back.
And with that, we go to a commercial.
Yeah. Again, also...
that's a great gag.
It is really good. Also, another thing that makes the show, like, maybe not canonical is the way that we are watching story. Leonard Nimoy introduce the story and then leave it two-thirds of the way through. It's very strange. Then he rejoins us.
He had to get out there to actually see the rest of
it. I mean, yes, he does appear in the third act as we come back. Homer's tape is shown on the local news, and Homer is now an alien expert, I guess.
I'm happy to answer any questions you have about the alien. Any questions at all, Dr. Hibbert?
Yes, is the alien carbon-based or silicon-based?
The second one, xylophone. Next question.
Is the alien Santa Claus?
Yes.
Were you on my roof last night stealing my weather vane?
This interview is over.
They're silicon-based.
Obviously, I believe it's xylophone.
Xylophone. Oh, excuse me.
Xylophone with a Z. Sorry.
Xylophone. Where is that on the periodic table?
That's a great question. I think it might be a mineral in general. It might be a combination.
Oh, okay, got it. I'm not good at chemistry, so you're gonna have to layman's terms. Mineral. What's a mineral?
It's a rock.
Okay, cool. Got it. It's a rock. Rock aliens.
They're made of rocks.
Rock aliens, yep. Like in that movie. Lovejoy likes E.T. Shows he has no taste. And Leonard Nimoy shows up.
Whoa, Robbie, are you anti-E.T.?
I'm firmly anti-E.T.
Whoa.
There's two alien movies that came out in 1982. One is E.T., the other is The Thing. I'm on Team The Thing. Team E.T. is categorically bad.
Between those two, you know.
I feel like that is the true binary choice in life. It is either you are a Thing person or you're an E.T. person, and they cannot mingle.
All right, fans, write in with whether you are an E.T. or a Thing person. If I'm feeling particular, first, maybe we'll get a poll up to see which our readers are. I guess we're hoping for The Thing because we both like The Thing much better than E.T. But, you know, does The Thing have a cool ride at Universal Studios, Robbie?
It was at Halloween Horror Nights once.
Oh, really? That actually sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. What are we talking about? Oh, Leonard Nimoy, like we mentioned, stopped hosting this episode and decided to appear in it, I guess. And Bart runs into him at the next Friday where everyone's camped out waiting for the alien to appear once again.
Leonard Nimoy, what are you doing here?
Wherever there is mystery and the unexplained, cosmic forces shall draw me near.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Spock, what do you want on your hot dog?
Surprise me.
Take a look at this, Lisa. You don't see any Homer is a dope t-shirts, do you?
We sold those out in 5 minutes.
Dope!
They're 100% cotton, which is actually really bad for a t-shirt, but whatevs.
I'm really tempted to make Homer is a dope and Homer was right t-shirts. They're really simple. Like, all they say is Homer. I know. I mean, they're available.
Print on demand.
You can buy them on the websites. People have websites with those shirts if you really wanted to. But now Leonard Nimoy is in the show, not just on, or I don't know how you want to divide that up. He's not hosting anymore. He's now appearing. The alien, I don't think it should be a surprise. It's appeared every Friday night for a couple of weeks. So it appears again to the shock and to the shock of the Springfield residents.
Homie, I'm so sorry. I doubted you.
I bring you love.
Is that the love between a man and a woman, or the love of a man for a fine Cuban cigar?
I bring you love.
It's bringing love. Don't let it get away.
Break its legs.
Wait! You want an alien? This is your alien.
Hello, children. I bring you love.
It's a monster! Kill it! Kill it!
It's not a monster. It's Mr. Burns.
Oh, it's Mr. Burns.
Kill it! Kill it!
The Springfield crowd first reaction is, of course, violence and murder. This is natural. You there, Matt? You die.
Sorry, I muted myself so you wouldn't hear me coughing and dying here.
Oh, okay.
But yes, the natural response to anything in Springfield is kill it first, ask questions later, as we find with the angel.
Yes, exactly. This is actually a very similar episode to that, actually. I think it is a lot sillier than that, and frankly, I think it's a better episode than that, but it is – that episode tries to take more serious tact. This episode still does deal with belief and all that stuff. It just feels like it's mostly not. It's like I think that's the part that it doesn't hold up as well for me is the Homer and Marge, like, oh, Marge doesn't believe him, and suddenly then she does. Like, I wish it was just the silly X-Files stuff, honestly. Like, I don't need...
Yeah, you don't even need to see... Like, Mulder and Scully at the very end of the episode get to see it and explain it away, but, you know... Yeah, it gets to be Homer, I guess.
Yeah, it's fine that it's ultimately Mr. Burns. I think that is actually very suitable for how this episode works, but I wish it was just silly. I think I wish it was just kind of the weird X-Files and Simpsons humor kind of mixed together. They didn't try and tack on like this emotional thing because it doesn't really land. That's not why anyone likes this episode. It is, you like this episode because it has, you know, fun, silly adventure with the X-Files involved. Smithers goes on a little bit of a story explaining why this is Mr. Burns, how he goes on life extension therapies every Friday night. It's a strange time to get your life extension therapy done, I guess. And then he comes out to explain why he glows. And then we get a nice sing-along to end the episode.
But what's with the glowing?
I'll field that question. A lifetime of working in a nuclear power plant has given me a healthy green glow, left me as impotent as a Nevada boxing commissioner. And now that I'm back to normal, I don't bring you peace and love. I bring you fear, famine, pestilence, and...
I'm for a booster!
Good morning, starshine. The Earth says hello.
You twinkle above us. We twinkle below.
Good morning, starshine. You lead us along.
Well, you said you'd bring the peace and love, and it looks like you did it. I'm proud of you, homie.
Thanks, Marge.
And so concludes our tale. I'm Leonard Nimoy. Good night, and keep watching the skies. Skies.
Keep watching the skis, everybody.
Keep watching the skis. I don't know that. I do like that as an inspired touch by having Squee Voice Teen do the outro. I like it. Yeah. I like the song. And again, this sing along also features multiple aliens and singing. Matt, I don't know if that's.
Well, that totally means that this is a real episode and this actually happened. Also, that means it's now canonical that Mr. Burns is actually all four of the Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
What?
He brought fear, famine, pestilence, and he was going to say war. So he is essentially all four of the Horsemen of Apocalypse.
I got it. Okay. Apocalypse. We got it.
That's right. Smithers is supposed to be Apocalypse. Whatever.
Wouldn't Burns be Apocalypse and then Smithers be probably Death?
Well, I mean, Mr. Burns, I guess that's true. Burns would be Apocalypse and then he'd have his Horsemen. Yeah. I guess Smithers would be Death. Let's see. Who else could we get?
I think blue-haired lawyer probably would be like famine.
Yeah, and the dreaded Osaka flu would be the pestilence probably.
But war, who's somebody, war?
Who is war? That's a good question. Herman. Herman would have to be war.
Yeah, I guess so. I was trying to think of other people who'd be aligned with Burns, but he doesn't really have anyone inside Smithers, so he'd have to probably pluck people from the town.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how the Simpsons works. Is everyone has to be from Springfield?
If we're going to follow the X-Men storyline, one of them has to be a friendly that converts into the evil version of themselves, a la Archangel. So,
I think we'd consider Smithers friendly.
All right, I guess that's fair. That's fair.
And if he's Death, then that's perfect because Archangel was Death. So there you go.
There you go. All right, cool. That's a freak.
Oh, Dr. Nick is obviously Pestilence. What am I thinking?
That's true. Oh,
sorry, guys. I know there are a lot of you yelling at your phones at that
point. Yeah, I'm sure everyone has a lot of opinions about the Simpsons, Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, X-Men crossover storyline. That's the other episode. I think it's a fun, like I said that in the tail end of last week's episode, is this, I felt like this episode is just fun and silly, and I think that's what this is. It is fun and silly. It's funny. I don't take it very seriously. It doesn't, and I don't think it takes itself very seriously. It obviously is just like, you know what? I think that's why I like it. I prefer it a lot more over A Star Is Burns. Like that episode had, like, it tried to tie it together, like, into a quote-unquote real episode, and this one is just like, we're having an X-Files crossover. What can we possibly do to make it make sense? Let's not try and make sense. Let's just be silly. And I think it works really well.
I would have to agree. It's not what I would consider a great Simpsons episode, but it's a very entertaining half hour of television, or 22 minutes if you're watching the DVDs like we are.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I would also say, not one of my favorites, I mean, or one of the great ones, but it is, again, one of the ones that, like, highlight the power of the variety of The Simpsons and how, like, there's so many different types of episodes and how you have, like, I think this one is a fan favorite because of it, how it, you know, like, Simpsons is the show of the 90s, and I feel like this show is, like, this is like, hey, let's even put more 90s in there. Let's make it the 90th of things, you know, with the X-Files, and there's a lot, you know, the Waterworld references and all that stuff. It
really is.
Urkel references.
It's like, Yeah, it's like that 90s, or what was that? Was it that 90s show? Is that what the episode is called? That supposedly takes place in the 90s?
Yes.
It's even more 90s than that.
It is way more 90s than that. That's the thing about, in like 800 years when we finally get to talk about that 90s show, I feel like that's the thing about that 90s show that doesn't that doesn't get it, is that there already are episodes about the 90s and The Simpsons. They're all of the first 10 seasons.
I gotcha. Yeah. I see where you're going there.
Yep. We will rank it at the end of the show. We have two submissions for my favorite episode. First from Amanda. My favorite episode is The Springfield Files. I love this episode from the second it aired. It was the combination of two shows that I was obsessed with. There are some long-standing gags in the episode that have stayed hilarious, even after all these years, from the die to diet sign. The psycho music from the orchestra on the bus, it always gets a laugh out of me. I love how they blend references to the show in The Simpsons. This episode also makes viewers wonder, how many file photos does Channel 6 have of Homer? Just like in several X-Files, there is real proof in Scully's presence, and you know she wouldn't admit to Chewbacca, Marvin the Martian, and Alf being aliens. Hopefully soon, once the money's saved up, I making this episode into a tattoo. Wonder what would you do? I guess you could just have Mr. Burns alien and with a skull, Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, the extra aliens are kind of superfluous.
No, I would just get Mulder's picture. Just get his ID and his swimsuit picture. Just get that tattoo.
There you go.
Get that on my back.
I can see that.
Yeah. I would never have to look at it. Only my wife.
You really hate your wife that much, huh?
I do not. That's why, I try and think about those things before the fact that she will have to see it more than me. Otherwise, we have second from Jake. Maybe no one's favorite episode but mine. I never see it on a best of list. You're not alone, Jake. I love season 8, episode 10, The Springfield Files. It's the first episode I ever saw on air date, and it got me to watch both The Simpsons and The X-Files for the next 20 years. Mostly on rerun for the latter, of course. Comedy's great, of course. Favorite visual joke, Jai to Diet. Favorite dialogue joke, it's like a lava lamp. The jokes are out there. Keep watching the skis, Jake. Yeah, you're not alone, Jake. That's the beauty of The Simpsons, is that there's such a variety of people's favorite episodes. If you have a favorite episode, you can submit it to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I'll read it when we get to that specific episode. Next up, Matt, it's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments on the news group is where I comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, see what people are talking about the week or two after an episode debuted, see what they thought of the episode, reviews, and anything I think is generally interesting or newsworthy. Reviews are all over the place for this episode, Matt.
It kind of felt like that. People who love The X-Files will love it. People who love, classics, emotional Simpsons episodes will probably hate it. People who like funny Simpsons episodes will kind of be on the fence.
Yeah, it's very strange. There's lots of some saying this is the best episode in years. Some of those in there. And then also some are like, I feel like it's just like because it is silly and not like, I feel like there's a strong contingent of people in this news group who are like, they don't want everything to make sense. They don't want these tight story driven episodes. They want joke driven episodes. And guess what? Family Guy is only a few years away. You can have all that you could ever want. Also, there's someone pushed out a recipe for disco stew. STEW stew. It's a lamb stew. It looks good. I like myself some lamb. But I don't. They said they changed it up to make it disco stew. I could not see what they made it that made it disco stew. It's not like you throw in a Donna Summer album in there or something.
You get to play the album while you cook it. Obviously.
Of course, some Madonna. That you didn't get that one, Matt?
I did not. No, okay. Sorry.
It's all right. Your wife probably did. If she was listening, when she listens to this, she'll understand. Also thoughts on the new episode of King of the Hill, the first episode of King of the Hill. Very divided, extremely divided, very divisive, that King of the Hill. We've been rewatching King of the Hill for the Patreon. We've done some bonus episodes about it. And we both think it's a very, very good show, but it is a very different show than The Simpsons. And
yes, yes.
It
is more like, it's kind of almost like Roseanne, but animated.
Yeah, it's closer. It's obviously much. It's gets its humor from a much different thing than The Simpsons do, and I don't expect all Simpsons fans to like King of the Hill or vice versa. But you don't have to hate on it. There's some haters on the message board, and then a lot of people arguing this shouldn't even be on this message board. This is the Simpsons message board. Why is there King of the Hill on here? And then there's like 20 people are like, well, I want to talk about King of the Hill, and there's no King of the Hill message board, and it's right after the Simpsons. So come on, it's fine. It is time we can jump over to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Homer Marge episode? Appreciate everyone who takes the time to answer. First from Kyle, we have Natural Born Kissers. There are tons of great gags on this one, but this episode seemed to be one of the few episodes in the series where it wasn't Homer doing something that had a negative impact on Marge, and he spends the entire episode making up for it. Also, the subplot with Bart and Lisa with Metal Detector is excellent, especially when the old Jewish man pays them to rebury the It's a Wonderful Life killing spree ending film strip, along with the alternative ending to Casablanca. From Will, Secrets of a Successful Marriage. It shows how much Homer really depends on Marge for everything. Without her, he's living in the treehouse with a rope for a belt. From Justin, I have to go with Natural Born Kissers. It's just too funny. Plus, I love that our favorite TV mom and dad are kinksters. I also really like the episode didn't make the exhibition. It's just to make fun of kinky and kinky people. From Jonathan, three gays in the condo for three simple words. Weird Al Yankovic. From Skeletor's Pimp K Net Commander Cody 83, Natural Born Kissers. Love the naked chase scene in the Lisa Bart Metal Detector subplot. Midnight on the third day. I Married Marge shows how much Homer cared for their relationship. Was great to see him defend himself to Patty and Selma. For Mike at MWood919, Natural Born Kissers. I love when Marge and Homer are on a mission together, but when they're naked and running from the law, it's even better. The pod is cast at a podcast all day. The War of the Simpsons. He blows his nose on the towels and then puts them back in the middle. I only did that a couple of times. And from Dan at Smoking Dan, Natural Born Kissers. The church scene kills me every time. Everyone stare at God's beautiful floor. Eyes on the floor. Eyes on the floor. Man, a lot of Natural Born Kissers answers. A little peek behind the curtain. Matt is not present for this segment because we recorded the rest of this episode earlier. But his answer for this question is the way we was, which is probably should have expected it from him. I'll give my best Matt impersonation. Yeah, I liked the way we was. I think it's such a sweet and fun episode, and it's really funny. And it's really good early Simpsons episode. Thank you, Matt. That was great. My answer is Mysterious Voyage of Homer. I talked about it ad nauseum for a long time last week, but I just adore that episode, and I think it really it goes into real good depth about how and why their relationship works so well, and why in Homer's reliance on Marge for not just her taking care of him. Next week's question: what made you become a Simpsons fan? What episode got you there? Was it a friend? What happened? Do you remember? I'm always interested. That's another question I always like to hear from Simpsons fans. Is, you know, favorite episode obviously is a lot of people's first question, but when did you start? All that kind of thing. I'll post this question on all of our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us again at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Follow us, like us, all those good things. With that, we can move on to our next segment, Matt. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenges, where Matt and I each challenge each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, try and stump the other. This season we have a wager, as we have for the past few. Whoever loses has to record themselves on video singing a Simpsons song of the winner's choosing. I am only down double digits. I'm totally in this, right? Right. Glad we all agree.
Yep.
Matt, start me off. Give me an easy question.
All right, your easy question. What is the horse's new name in Saddlesore Galactica?
Why do we have to talk about Saddlesore Galactica?
Because I was just randomly going through episodes and I was like, hey, this will be perfect. This episode's terrible.
Furious D? Is that correct?
Wow, I'm impressed. Yes.
Easy question. I get 1 point. Wee-hee.
All right.
All right. These are all from your favorite episode, Matt. Season 16's Midnight RX Express.
Okay, that's not that bad.
Your easy question. Homer and Grandpa team up to provide what to Springfield?
Prescription drugs.
That is correct. What's my medium question?
All right, medium question. What band guest stars in Saddlesore Galactica?
Oh, God. There's a band in that episode?
Yeah, the intro is extended.
Right. Okay. That's not right though. I'm thinking of a band that I know it's wrong. I'm not gonna say it. I don't even remember how that episode. They get a horse. It's bad. There's elves in it.
Are you telling me that's a bad episode, Robbie?
It's a really bad episode. I can't. Who the hell would be with band? Bare Naked Ladies.
I'm sorry, it is BTO.
Really?
Yeah, Bachman Turner Overdrive. Their big hit was TCB. That's the way we talked in the 70s. We didn't have a lot of time.
Is that joke in that episode?
That is.
That might be the best joke in a bad episode. Your medium question. Where specifically do Grandpa and Homer go to get more drugs?
Besides just Canada in general?
Besides just Canada in general. Give me, I need city and province.
I'm going to say Toronto, Ontario.
Ontario?
Ontario. I said Ontario.
Oh, it is. That is incorrect, Matt. It is Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Oh, of course, Winnipeg. How could I forget Winnipeg?
How could you forget Winnipeg?
The Simpsons really enjoy Winnipeg.
Exactly. What's my hard question? I'm sure I'll get it right.
You probably will. What song does the Springfield Elementary School Band play at the State Fair competition in Saddlesore Galactica?
Rock You Like a Hurricane.
I'm sorry. It is Living in America.
Oh. No Scorpions?
No Scorpions, sorry.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, your hard question. What is the name of the plane Burns designed for Nazi Germany, and how much did it weigh?
Oh, man. What was the name of the plane? I want to say the Spruce Moose, but that's from Springfield with a dollar sign. I don't know. The Live Forever, and it weighed 28 tons.
Now, it's another Howard Hughes reference. It is the Plywood Pelican.
Oh, of course.
And it weighs more than the state of New Hampshire.
Okay.
Yep, there you go. I have a bonus question for you, Matt. This is from John Winchester. Other than Moe's Tavern, name the other incarnations of Moe's bar/restaurant.
Okay, there's M. There's Uncle Moe's Family Feed Bag.
It's two.
There's one more that I...
There's nine total.
Nine?
Yep.
Oh, man. I don't know the name of when it was a pub, when Marge and him ran it. It's just Moe's Pub. There was the time... Flaming Moe's, obviously.
There you go.
Nine? Really? Nine?
Yep.
I got nothing. That's all I can remember.
Okay, we got Moe's Ice Cream Carnival.
When was that?
That was A Tree Grows in Springfield.
A Tree Grows in... What? I don't remember that episode at all. Crap. All right, keep going.
This is the sixth episode of the 24th season. This is Tree Grows in Springfield. 24, season 24. You have Moe's Tavern. That is M-E-A-U-X Moe's Tavern.
Oh, first.
Flaming Moe's, Uncle Moe's Family Feed Bag, Moe's Pet Shop. From Homer vs. the 18th Amendment.
Yeah.
You have M. You have the Nag and Weasel, which I believe is the one you're thinking of.
That was the pub. The pub. The Nag and Weasel.
Yeah, you have Moe's, simply M-O, apostrophe S, Moe's. And then you have Drunken Donuts.
I don't remember those last two at all. So good job on those, because at least three of those I don't remember at all.
Well, there only are only how many episodes of The Simpsons, Matt?
I don't know, 600 and something.
There's many. More than we can remember in all our life. We're both one point each on this. I'm still only down 13 points. I am like, it's just every week, just not losing ground is all I'm hoping for. I can only hope to maybe eke out a point here too. Get a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer. That's all I can do. But with that, we can move on to our final segment. Segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show. Matt and I rank the episodes categorically. We watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where is it, Matt?
This is a tough one because it's a funny episode. It's interesting, but it's not really a great Simpsons episode.
I can easily hear it. An easy start is A Star Is Burns. Because that is the other crossover episode. I think it's clearly better than A Star Is Burns. That it is in the top half of the list for sure, at least.
Whoa!
I know it's not. I'm not saying it's like groundbreaking or anything, but I think it is obviously. You know, that gives us a little bit of a lesser window to look at.
Fair enough. How about
Radioactive Man? Is it better than Radioactive Man?
It is definitely funnier than Radioactive Man.
I think it's better than Radioactive Man.
I would agree.
I think Radioactive Man is another. I'm like looking at episodes like this that are like very silly and kind of not necessarily
tongue in cheek.
Yeah, not story. Like, there's not a big story driven thing in it. There's not it's not a big heavy emotional thing. It is more whimsical.
Yeah, I'm actually looking above that. I don't really see many that are like that past those two.
There's some in here. Bart vs. Australia, I think, is the highest one.
Yeah, I don't think it's as good as Bart vs. Australia, unfortunately.
Okay. How about Itchy and Scratchy Land?
That's what I was looking at, too. I would say, honestly, I kind of do like it better than that. I'm trying to get past the whole guest star aspect. We got Leonard Nimoy and David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
I like those things better. Ahead. I mean, like, I think Itchy and Scratchy Land's better. I think the guest stars in this are what makes it excellent. I think I feel like it doesn't have enough going for it without those people in it that make it special.
That's true. It's still a really funny episode overall then. I mean, look how many clips we pulled between the two of us. It was kind of a large amount.
No, it's very funny and well written for what it is. I think it is. I think the thing that my biggest criticism of it is how it's not. It feels like it's not consistent on. There's a joke of reference to the Budweiser frogs in it. And I just, like, that is that's a dated reference. I'm not, like, some of the references hold up, and, like, I don't, like, Waterworld, I think, like, I'm fine with that Waterworld video game. I think it's so strange even to this day. It's very, like, it doesn't matter that, obviously, it's talking about Waterworld being a financial disaster, but
right. It's
such a strange inclusion that I don't mind it. But that Budweiser frogs joke, it feels out of place. It feels dated. Like, there's just things like that, little, like, the weird tonal inconsistencies about, like, is this just going to be straight up weird cartoony silliness, or is this going to be trying, like, that weird tacked on emotional, like, Marge not believing Homer, like, them clearly trying to anchor it in something, and I feel like it would have been better just not in that, not doing that in the first place. Just let it go.
Embrace the silly.
Yeah, embrace it. I think that's my main complaint. I think Itchy and Scratchy Land, I think, is tonally consistent from the beginning to end. It's very dumb and weird and silly of them going to amusement park that is clearly just, hey, we're going to ape on Jurassic Park and King Kong and Disney World jokes and all that stuff. But it does that from beginning to end. It doesn't, like, try and, like, shortcut in emotional stuff in there. It's just like, hey, weird action movie jokes and, you know, jokes about Disney and stuff like that. I would put it below Itchy and Scratchy Land. How is it better than Lisa's Rival?
I don't know. I was actually looking and for episodes nearby. I think Homer's Barbershop Quartet is actually pretty close to the tone we're going for, because it's kind of a fake flashback kind of thing. I don't know. I really enjoy Homer's Barbershop Quartet. I'm not sure if this is better than that. What do you think?
I think it's better. I think it's better. I think this is better than Homer's Barbershop Quartet.
Fair enough. Than Krusty Gets Canceled.
I think it is better than Krusty Gets Canceled. I don't know if it's better than Lisa's Rival. I mean, Lisa's Rival is a completely different kind of episode. That's the thing.
Yeah, like, it's really hard to compare the two.
They're not as easy a comparison. Lisa's Rival is much more about Lisa's character and having to deal with someone who's also smart and stuff. There is plenty of humor in it, but it's not, like, the thing that's carrying the episode like it is in this one. I'd say put it right behind Lisa's Rival.
I can definitely agree with that.
I think right above Krusty Gets Canceled, right below Lisa's Rival. I think, like, it's easy to compare Krusty Gets Canceled because Krusty Gets Canceled also has a bunch of guests in it. And
yeah, that's true.
And I don't think it also doesn't hold up super well. I think a lot of that.
Yeah, it doesn't really use those guests in a way that, you know, is identifiable as someone who would watch it today for the first time.
Yeah, a lot of my love for, like, I like Krusty Gets Canceled because I watched it as a kid and, like, I have nostalgia for it, but if you showed it to, like, a 13-year-old, they would not know most of the people who guest star in that episode.
They definitely wouldn't know Bette Midler. They wouldn't know Luke Perry.
Johnny Carson.
They wouldn't know Johnny Carson. Oh, Johnny Carson.
I know. Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
You're not going to get much out of the, I mean, it's, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's kind of why I like a lot of The Simpsons, that is rooted in a particular time and place, but I think that this episode is just, it is more, despite the fact that it does have some references that are very time and place, it can still be enjoyed much later on, I think, just because the qualities of the X-Files and of Leonard Nimoy's presence are kind of more ubiquitous and well-known. So, number 46 on our list is The Springfield Files. right below Lisa's Rival, right above Krusty Gets Canceled. Still number one on our list is Cape Fear. Last place right now, 153, is Homer's Odyssey. It's a tough list. It's a tough... Dear, every week I look at it and go, wow. It's kind
of... There's a lot of good in this list and not a lot of bad.
No, yeah, it's pretty impressive what The Simpsons have done. What is our next episode, Matt?
Our next episode, if I can scroll my list fast enough... This is what I get for closing Wikipedia during trivia.
Is
The Twisted World of Marge Simpson.
You can just minimize things. Just let you know that, Matt.
I know.
It is The Twisted World of Marge Simpson, another fun, great Marge episode.
Finally. It's been too long.
It's been, yeah. When was the last Marge episode? Last season sometime. Probably was, I can't think of the name, Scenes from the Class Struggle. Last Marge episode we did. Straight up Marge episode. So that's next week. You can find this list, Best Episode Ever list, at our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. Find links to everything there, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, a link to our Patreon. If you want to throw the show a couple dollars on there, we really appreciate it. Help to keep the show going, keep the show ad-free. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my other podcasts, The Handsome Boys Comics Hour and The Serial Fanaticist. Matt does not participate in social media unless you love a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. But this week, after I record this, but way before you guys hear this, I will be touring New York City. So when I come back, I will definitely be in some sort of pizza coma. So unless you are a pizza delivery person, you probably won't be able to get a message to me. I'll have to spell it on pepperoni as best you can. Sorry, guys. Good luck.
With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.